This is one of those stories that I put up in there. I might say this a lot, and so you don't believe me anyway, but I put this story way up there in one of the most important stories in the Bible. For a lot of reasons. Not that I understand everything about this story, and I do have some questions that I haven't gotten my answer yet, but I'm working on it. About God, mostly. But it brings to my mind some real questions about what I really believe, and how deeply do I really believe it? And what does it say to me about who God is? This story, if I can use a secular phrase, and I might use several tonight, just blows me away. So I need your help with it tonight. And I'm glad you're here, because I'm looking out and I see several Sunday school teachers. And I see some people that have been Christians for a long time. And you have a lot of experience. And you've asked questions of God yourself, some of you. Man, we have somebody born. Whoop, there goes my notes. I have to get a paperweight. It's a whole different dynamics up here. I mean, I have people here that have been married for 50 years. Others that just got engaged this week. People here born in Maryland. People wearing a yellow shirt, you know. It doesn't take much to qualify for a student of the Word except a willing heart. And willing to engage the Scriptures. And willing to say, God, your word is eternal, your word is full of truth, and it has something to say to me. So I want you every time you open your Bible to feel that way about the Bible. You'll get out of the Bible what you put into it. And when you study it and when you search it out, and you search the Scriptures, it's amazing what God might say to you and what God might have in store for you. I'm going to read the story, and then I'm going to ask you for your thoughts. So I'm preparing you ahead of time. I want you to think about, what does this story say to you? What questions do you have? What are you wrestling with? But I'm going to read it, Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read tonight through verse 18. Truly a great story of faith in the Bible. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by the horns. If only our world understood this picture, they would know how much God loves them. Wow. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it was said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." I do feel like tonight, when I think about this story, and of course it's kind of been in my mind and my heart for a while, and thinking through what I was going to preach each of the Sunday nights and that kind of thing, I feel somewhat that I'm on holy ground to read and study a story like this. It's deep. I wish so much that our world understood this story and heard it. And people who don't believe in God, don't believe that God is real, don't believe that God is a loving God, I wish they would hear this story. There was a depth of faith and trust that Abraham had that's absolutely incredible. And I'm blown away by Abraham. If ever I've said things about Abraham that aren't complimentary, this chapter would be on the other side of that and show us the depth and the amazing faith of a man who responded to God. All right. Tell me what you think. Tell me what comes to your mind and your heart about this story. Would you do that? Just some quick comments. I was joking about all those Bible scholars out there, but I'd really like to know what God says to you when you read and you think about this incredible story. Who's first? Yeah. How could he just do it? Simply do it. I mean, boy, I would think he'd be arguing with God. I mean, he argued, well, he didn't argue, but boy, he talked to God about Sodom two chapters back. Incredible. Why what? Yeah, that why question is a big one. Yeah, it is for me. Imagine what he went through. Okay, somebody over here, maybe, or over here, but just quickly, what do you see, what do you hear, what do you feel? Yeah, at some point he had to know it. Yeah. Yeah. It would seem like, I wrote down in my notes, I mean, I wonder when Abraham looked into Isaac's eye and Isaac understood, and how Abraham dealt with that, how Isaac did. But that's, I wondered that too. That's a good point. Anybody else? Oh, no, you can't go there yet. No, go ahead. That's my hope in this story. Why don't you just come up here and preach my sermon, would you? I'm sure. Should I tell you a story on Debbie? No, I better not. That's so good, Debbie. What's that? All right. Yes. Jerry and then Jeff. Yep. Yep. I think that's a good question. In fact, he says it three times, your only son. Because he was saying to Abraham, Isaac is the one I promised you. Isaac is the one that I said through him, you bless the earth and the sand of the seashore and the stars of the sky. It's like the angel said to Abraham, you understand what I'm asking you. I want the one that I gave you, that I made a promise to you. Are you willing to give him back to me? That's a good point. Three times the angel says. I mean, if you're looking for a heart-wrenching story, just read that three times. My son, my only son. You know, I had this thing going with Luke for all his life. I've teased, I've used that. I've said, son, you're my son, my only son, and I love you so much. And then I had to change that because Jennifer married Hakeem. So I'd say, Luke, you're my son, one of my two sons, and I love you so much, you know. But Jeff, go ahead. If this isn't a parallel, nothing is in the Bible of what Christ did. Yep. Alice. Yep. It's out of the character of God to ask him to do that. I mean, it's hard enough to believe in God when we see him at work. I mean, sometimes that's a challenge. But how do we trust God when he doesn't seem to be acting like God? That's a different kind of faith. That is that we take God for his word, whether we understand him or not. Abraham seemed to be able to trust God even when he could not have understood him. And that's an incredible step of faith. Yep. You're looking for a sign. You were looking for a confirmation, a miracle from the Lord. Yeah. Yep. I understand. As much as I can, having never gone through what you have, but understand how deeply I love my children, and if one of them was in that place, how hard that would be, Neil. Yep, it's a good possibility. I think of all the things that Abraham gave up. He left the land of his birth. He traveled. He went to Egypt. He came back. He went through what he did with Lot. All these things, and then God finally fulfilled this promise. And you know, maybe that was for Abraham. That was absolutely the most important thing to him and the biggest thing to him. Someone else, anyone else? Until you face it. I think if we don't have a choice and something happens to our children, then that's one type of grief and whatever. But for Abraham, he was faced with the possibility. And I think of, well, how does that relate to people today? I'm thinking of the missionaries in the world, in the Islamic world, and how to be a Christian means that you are willing to allow your family to be killed. And for many of them, they have to make that conscious decision. They have to give their children to the Lord and say, God, it's up to you. If you protect them from harm, they will be protected. But if not, they go to heaven. And I go to heaven. And I think in a practical way, how many people have to make that decision today about their children. I don't want to cut anybody. I've got a lot to say, but I really value more and I get more out of your input and us just talking together. I think that's a good way to study this scripture too. God had to have known that Abraham would obey him. One of you mentioned, you know, he knows everything. He knows the blueprint. We believe that about God. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He had to know that Abraham was going to pass this test. So that's what I'm thinking about this story. So if God knew that, why did he do the test? And for Abraham, it was what seems to be an ultimate test. Your only son, the significance of the promise, the significance of Abraham's journey. But yet God tested Abraham in this way. I wonder, well, why did he test him in that way? It could be that this story, I mean, this is a possibility that this story, God intended to be a monument for us. That's possible that some things in the Bible and some stories and some things that God allowed the writers to write down, they wrote down because they knew that you and I would be on a faith journey later on. And we can learn something about God and about faithfulness and these things. It may also be that God gave Abraham this test to prove something to Abraham. It could be that God was teaching Abraham about a deeper trust and confirming in Abraham's heart, Abraham, you've given everything to me. I want you to know that I've given everything to you. He gives Abraham an opportunity to prove himself. He gives Abraham an opportunity to confirm his side of the covenant as well. I also think that this story at least says to me, it just reminds me that I don't always understand God. I mean, that's maybe That's easy for us to say, but we don't always understand why God does what He does and when and where. And sometimes He might do things that seem inconsistent with what we think God should do. I mean, there are situations that honestly, I don't have any answer for you why God allows this or God allows that. I don't understand why God allowed the Holocaust. I don't understand why God allowed the earthquake in Nepal. I don't understand why God allows children to have cancer. There are a lot of questions that I have about God, but this story reminds me that God is God, and we somehow have to make the decision of faith that we believe and trust in Him, whether we always understand Him or not. We may not know why God does some things. We may never know, or we may know when God takes us to heaven and we see Jesus, as the scriptures say, face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly. It'd be like somebody being outside that window and you can see a shadow of their head out there, and you know it's, you know, and that's kind of the way it is with God. We know some things about God. He allows and gives us certain things for us to know, but there's far more that we might not understand about God. But someday, the scriptures say, we'll see Him face to face. We will understand and see far more than we do now. And that also brings up the question in my mind and my heart about God's testing. Maybe it's true that God tests us as well. We might not see when. We might not realize it. It may be that God's testing us too in ways that we might not hear directly. But God tests us with good things in life, and God tests us with hard things in life. I think of both sides of that and how sometimes God blesses people, and I believe God is watching them to see, are they faithful in those times of blessings? Are they faithful when God allows things in their lives that are extraordinary or help them and bless them? But then God also tests us in the difficult times of life, in illness, in financial ruin, in broken relationships, and all kinds of things. God, in some ways you might say, life is always a test with God once we come to faith in Him. After we believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it might be that we could even look at our lives from that time on as a test. And God is watching us. God is testing us. God is measuring us, sometimes in the good times and sometimes in the hard times. Our lives may be full of little decisions of faith and choices of how we take in the world that comes to us. How do we deal with the circumstances of life? Do we face them with faithfulness, or do we face them with faithlessness? But God does test us. This story is a little easier for me to kind of understand and think of when I realize that Abraham did have the benefit and the blessing to know for sure that God was speaking directly to him. He knew God's voice. He had talked to Abraham many times. And so when God said to Abraham automatically knew, yes, this is God. And yes, this is God speaking to me. And this is God giving me a very clear directive. It's not as if Satan or Abraham had to wonder, now, is this the voice of God or is this the voice of Satan? He knew that God told him to do it. Now, I say that because in the New Testament, it's a lot different. We have the scriptures to help guide us, and we have the Holy Spirit that helps to illuminate for us God's will and discernment. But we don't have something that Abraham had. We don't have the direct voice of God. I mean, living in the New Testament day gives us many advantages, and it's the Holy Spirit and the scriptures against which and to which we weigh decisions about what God wants us to do. Unless God comes very directly to you and says, Mark, I want you to do this, or Debbie, I want you to do that. If He does that, that makes it a lot easier because we know for sure. But the truth is, we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The process of your relationship with God is different than Abraham. You have to work it through. You have to be willing to be patient, to search, to ask God, to wrestle with discerning right and wrong and the path that you should take. At least for Abraham in this case, it just seems to me that God said do it, and Abraham knew it was God, and that had to help him in some ways. In the Old Testament, it was God's clearly identified voice, and that had to help him. But even knowing for sure, Abraham still had to make the choice to believe and trust God. No matter how sure he was that it was God's voice, Abraham still had to make the choice to trust God. And that's no different for us today. You have to make the choice every day whether or not you're going to trust God. Sometimes, most days are not days that you're weighing big things. But there are times in your life when you do encounter big things. And you have to make the choice. Can I trust God about this situation? Can I trust God when I don't know what's going to happen? Can I trust God when people around me are doing things that are painful and will create problems for me? Can I trust God and follow what I know God says to me in my heart? Or do I have to pull back because I don't understand and know what's going to happen? Someone mentioned that Abraham, at least it's not recorded, and you know, it could be that there's more to the story and that we always face that possibility. This is what God allowed to be in the scripture, so we have to take that. But there could have been more. But I did notice as well, Abraham is not arguing with God about this. He's not saying, no, God, this can't be right. Abraham's not complaining. Abraham's not stalling. All he does is immediately respond to and obey what God tells him to do. Verse 3 says, then God said, take your son, your only son. And then verse 3, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. I mean, Abraham didn't even stall around in the morning. As soon as he woke up, as soon as he got up, he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And then also verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Again, his obedience seems to be complete. His obedience is immediate. Abraham's every actions are to do what God told him to do. You might call it extreme faith. You might call it extreme obedience, total obedience. Abraham is obedient even though he could not have possibly understood what God wanted for him. Abraham trusts God more than he trusts himself. He believes in God more than he believes in himself. That's a level of faith that is pretty high up there. And I see that Abraham doesn't try, as far as we know, to explain to Isaac. Someone mentioned Isaac understood that a sacrifice was necessary. Isaac began to wonder about it. Isaac began to, Dad, this isn't like we always when we go to sacrifice, and something's different here. But almost methodically, it seems like what Abraham does, he just methodically does exactly what God tells him to do. God is asking Abraham for his very best. That which was, as you have mentioned, and I won't repeat everything you guys said because you've said a lot of the things that I've been thinking about. That which was likely the most valuable thing in life to Abraham. God knew that. God knew what was in his heart. That doesn't mean that it was wrong, but all of us have things that are important to us. All of us have a pecking order of things that are dearest to who we are. And the truth is, God knows what that is. And maybe we know what it is, and maybe we don't quite realize it. But whatever the case, God knew how important Isaac was to him, to Abraham, and God knew all about the promise. And so... You know, you just had, I wonder at least, what was going on through Abraham's mind as he made the journey. I wonder if he told Sarah that morning. I doubt it. But can you imagine trying to explain to Sarah? I don't know. Well, this is a question I want to ask you. I want to change it up a little bit. I want you to vote on something now, okay? Do you think that Abraham believed that Isaac was going to be killed? Do you think that Abraham believed that Isaac would be killed? You understand the question? Raise your hand if you think Abraham believed that his son would be killed. Yeah. Okay. Wow, about half. Well, who believes that Abraham did not believe he'd be killed? About half. Well, you guys are wishy-washy. No, okay. All right, now look at verse 5. And I forget who. Debbie, did you read that? I can't remember. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. That to me is a telling verse. You know, I had to vote no because I think Abraham, He just knew, but then the New Testament explains a little bit different. You know, you go to the New Testament, maybe it's better to start there. But also look here in verse 9. In verse 9 says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar and ranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife and to slay his son. Then I think, well, maybe that changes when you ask the question. I mean, maybe up to that point, Abraham said, well, God's going to change this. Man, God's incredible in all his miracles, and he's not going to do this. I mean, I know God, and God wouldn't do this. And he, all along the way, Isaac, don't worry, God's going to provide the sacrifice, and we'll be back to see you fellas after dark, you know. And that's kind of, you know, not quite that tone of voice, but that's what I'm thinking Abraham's believing. But then when it came to the moment, Abraham's run out of time, and then he has to make a decision. Am I going to trust God and believe God? And he raises the knife. And at that moment, the incredible faith that had to be in that man is amazing to me. Why do you say that? Okay, my exception to what you're saying is he didn't know, but he thought that. That's the difference there. He didn't know for sure what God was going to have him do. Well, now we're getting into the part of the story that we wrestle with. Okay. You think Abraham thought that? God, this isn't like you.
Abraham knew that God would not go through with this. Even when he raised the knife, he knew.
You think?
God was not going to allow him to murder his son. He knew that.
Okay.
God was testing.
All right. I'll finish up here. Maybe we'll keep at it, but I have 3 pages of notes just about that, but I know we can't do that tonight. The moment of truth. He raises his hand, and either he knows or he believes, Neil, one of the two, that God can't do this. But God has paused. God hasn't stepped in yet. What do you do when you believe God is going to act a certain way and he doesn't do it? What kind of faith is that? What does it take? The moment of truth. I just wonder how fast his heart had to be racing. I wonder what he saw when he looked into Isaac's eyes and he pulled up the knife. And I wonder what Isaac was thinking. And the moment of truth. There may be times in our lives when we do have to face a moment of truth when we don't understand God. But the angel of the Lord called out, Abraham, Abraham. I notice he doesn't say Abraham like he did in verse 1. Abraham, Abraham. Almost with excitement, maybe. Oh, don't drop the knife, you know. Abraham, don't get so nervous that you just accidentally do something, you know. Abraham, Abraham. The intensity of the angel's voice the second time I think is pretty neat. Abraham, Abraham. And then how he says, oh, Abraham, I know now. You have proved, you have confirmed. Twice, God, it's almost like everybody on the scene is gasping. There's Isaac laying there looking up, and he sees the sharp knife, and Abraham with it in his hand, living out obedience for something he can't understand. And God and the angel, Abraham, Abraham, oh, wait a minute. And we confirm in the story that God was there all along. God knew every step that Isaac took carrying the wood. God knew all that was going on in Abraham's mind and Isaac's mind. At every step, God was watching. God was measuring. God was testing. And then God stepped in. What an incredible picture and an incredible story. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by the horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham saw the fruit of his faith. I can't imagine, Mark, I do have to agree with you with something. I can't imagine that God could have let Abraham do that. We know that later on in the Bible, God specifically forbids the taking of children, the sacrifice of children. In Leviticus chapter 18, I'm thinking of a scripture I read 2 weeks ago when I was preaching about the destruction of Sodom, how God says, do not allow the sacrifice of your children. And we know that that's not consistent with the heart of God. But what do we say? There are things sometimes that we don't understand about God. But in the end, I have to look at the story and say, no, God would have never allowed that. One of two things would happen. Abraham would drop the knife and would not pass the test. And whatever God would do at that point, I'm not sure. Or God would step in at the last moment. But God is a perfect God. Abraham trusted him up to that point. I think if Abraham can trust him up to that point, surely God can help us to trust him in our lives at those points and those places where we don't understand why and when and the timing. But God always, always, always does what is right. We may not see it ahead of time, but God does do what is right. Were you wanting to... You waved your hand. Please do. Yeah. I understand. Ah, there you go. All right, you and Debbie. All right, my last point. I'm coming to it, Mark. That's exactly what I've written down almost next. But next, I want to talk about faith for a minute. Remember what Jesus said? He said, truly I tell you, if you have faith and you do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the depths of the sea and it will be done. There's something about the power of faith that, you know, I'm telling you, I feel like I'm out of my league tonight. I'm really grasping at trying to catch this, but I realize there's something about the depth of faith that's still out there for me to try to understand about what faith is. May well be. That's possible that Isaac understood it too. Somehow that faith was transferred. That's possible. Yep, I understand what you're saying. Well, why does God give us this story? I'll move on here and finish up, and then we can stay all night if you want to talk about it. But why does God give us this story? I wonder if the whole reason is what was just said. It helps us to understand what faith is. Could it be that really the purpose of this story may not have been so much for Abraham and Isaac? Maybe it was for the Jewish people, every generation from here on, and for Christian people and for all of us. Could it be that God is really trying to say something to us? It also helps us to see and sense a little bit the magnitude of what God did when he sent Jesus. And that, of course, has been what we talked about. But in this story, we see the tremendous parallels of what God the Father went through when he chose from the foundation of the world that his son would be the lamb slain. I mean, when you understand the magnitude, I mean, this story just gives us a little human connection picture to the heart of God about what he did with Jesus and the magnitude. I mean, at the last moment, God said, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. But then when Jesus went to the cross and Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We understand the depth of how much the Father loved the Son and how much he loves us when we think about the comparison. And of course, the words, the Lord will provide. Just helping us to understand that we should have been the ones on the cross. We should have been the ones on the cross. But it was Jesus that went to cross for us. It helps us to see how Jesus becomes the sacrifice. This is a challenging story of what faith is. Just to wrap up, yes, God condemned child sacrifice. It was condemned clearly in the law of Moses. I have to believe that this test was a picture long before. Perhaps God's just giving an inkling here, a suggestion, the first hint of what he was planning to do in the cross. I think, well, in the end, what do I take from this story? I take from this story the incredible picture of the cross. Last picture that I have tonight, and it just helps me to wonder about that. The amazing, incredible picture of what it means that God would give his only son. That's an amazing picture. All right, we'll stop there tonight. As far as I'm concerned, thoughts? Anything that you just would like to throw out there or comment on? Finished? Wrapped up? You have all the answers now, Ken? No. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this incredible story. I pray, God, that you would help us as we read the Bible to ask questions within and of you, and to learn and to study and to have it build our faith and exercise our faith. Lord God, help us to feel closer to you and maybe somehow have discernment and compassion for people and for situations that we can learn from. We thank you for the example of Abraham's faith. And as we come to the end of his story and our study of Abraham, very soon, help us to take from it what you want for each one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless.